Hello, my friends. Peyton Jones here, hitting your headphones to continue our trek through John on our journey through the Word. I'll be your guide in chapter 1 today, a truly epic chapter for an equally epic introduction to Jesus. Now, I admit, as a teacher, this chapter is actually much bigger than I am. And I'm going to struggle to do it justice, because this chapter actually covers all space and time. But so does the person John is introducing, Jesus. Even John seems to struggle a bit to know how to introduce the creator of the universe to us. I mean, how do you introduce somebody from whose fingertips drip the universe itself? How do you put into words a summary of somebody who created words and thoughts? And how do you do it in a limited space of time? Oh, speaking of time, he invented that too. And the beginning of time is precisely where John takes us. Let's read how John introduces Jesus in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Whoa! The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Back in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible opens up stating that God made the heavens and the earth. Here John states, Jesus is that same God that created the world. Do you see what I mean by John being in awe of who Jesus was, is? John knows he can't begin Jesus' story in a stable with Jesus being born in a manger, those humble beginnings the other gospel writers started with. But how to put what he knows into words? John knows he's speaking about God himself, coming in human flesh, but how does he find the right words to convey the sheer awesomeness of that? Have you ever been frustrated by your own words or your inability to find just the right word to express yourself? It's on the tip of your brain, and after fumbling and bumbling, you can't quite think of the right, and you finally burst it out. That word comes to you, and it sheds new light on that situation. John finds the Word, but one word won't do. So he uses two, light and life. John takes us back to the dawn of creation, back when a word caused everything to exist. But what that word caused was life and light. Verse 3, through him, all things were made. But then John drops a bomb in verse 4. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. John sees Jesus as the word that is spoken into our souls, causing light to ignite and stream across the chaotic void of deep, dark blackness in each one of us. Just like the first word spoken by God, let there be light. Those words illumine the darkness of creation. And so Jesus is the word that illumines our own personal darkness. In him was life. John shifts from talking about physical light and light to speaking about spiritual life and light. And before we go any further, it's important to know that for the rest of the book, John will record Jesus speaking about spiritual things by using objects that we can see in the world around us. He does this because finding the right words can be tricky and cause confusion. So Jesus uses word pictures. For example, when I was trying to understand a principle in quantum physics once, someone blinded me with science by using the word particle wave duality. Because of all the math, equations, and scientific jargon, I just couldn't grasp what was being said until someone said, "Look, the universe pulses like the movements of a jellyfish." Oh, I get it. Okay, so particle wave duality is like the pulsating of a jellyfish, and you're saying the universe does that? Okay, I get it. They use something I already understood to teach me a completely foreign concept. Well, that's why John is using light and life to describe how Jesus changes things when you finally get him, when you finally understand and get that right word. He was the word. Light and life is what fleshes into your life. We feel the heat on our skin when we walk from the shade into the sunlight. We know what that feels like. But we also feel the power of miracle whenever we watch an animal or human give birth to a new life. There's nothing quite like either of those feelings, but to be around Jesus was the closest thing to it in the spiritual realm. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. He's like the light to your darkness. He's the life to your death. And he's that word that you've been struggling for. And when it finally comes to you, everything makes sense. Light, life, the word. John uses something we physically know to help us understand something spiritual. That's why Jesus used examples from the physical world to help people understand spiritual things. For example, when Jesus sits on a well and tells a woman coming there to draw water, he can quench her thirst with living water. Her response in John 4 is, "But you don't have a bucket." She heard water and thought physical when he was speaking about something that would fill her spiritually. Just like then, people still misunderstand Jesus a lot. In another example, John records Jesus conversing with Nicodemus. He's a religious guy, and Jesus tells him, "You must be born again." Nicodemus says, "I'm an old man. What, am I supposed to crawl back up inside the birth canal and go for a second ride? That's impossible." Jesus says, "I'm speaking to you of physical things, and you don't understand. How will you understand if I speak to you of spiritual things?" Ah, words again. They're so easily misunderstood. That's where John struggles real in the next verse. Verse 5 of chapter 1. "The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it." Let's pause and ask a question. Does it seem to you like Jesus is used to being misunderstood? Don't worry if you've misunderstood God, the Bible, or even Jesus. And if you don't quite understand a lot of what I'm saying yet, that's okay too. Jesus can take it. He's patient. And he knows that this is all new to you. So here's another question. What would you do if you were God and people were constantly misunderstanding you? God sent the law? Misunderstood. God sent the prophets? Misunderstood. Would you just keep using more words to be understood? Keep throwing a heap of words on even if you're being more misunderstood each time than the time before? Maybe you would if you'd found the right word. Maybe Jesus was the right word to help those in the dark understand who God was. Maybe Jesus is like that word you search for when all other words fail to express your meaning. Light helps us see, and words help us understand. For this reason, in verse 9, John calls Jesus the true light, which gives light to everyone. Listen to that again. The true light that gives light to everyone. But if Jesus gives light to everyone, how come some still can't see him? If the light's shining all around and you can't see, it's because you're blind. Let's keep that in mind as we read the next verse and John introduces another character. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light." Doesn't that sound odd to you that someone has to bear witness about the light? I mean, when a light is on, you either see it or you don't, right? You don't need someone to tell you a light is shining, do you? Again, yes, if the person's blind. And that might be just another clue to why John presents Jesus as that perfect word for God to express himself to a blind world. Because when you're blind and you can't see the light, you can still hear the words. Words can still reach those that are blind. And Jesus was that word, remember, that speaks into our darkness. Later, John will introduce us to a man born blind who couldn't see Jesus but heard his voice, recognized him as the Savior of the world, and had his eyes open physically as well as spiritually. But that wasn't the case with everyone in John. Back to our passage. Let's pick up where we left in verse 10. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Can you hear John struggling again? It's like he's in shock. The world was made through him, but the world didn't recognize him. It just didn't make sense. But John will end with a high note here in verse 12. "Yet to all who did receive him, To those who believed in his name, he gave the rights to become the children of God. To those who receive him, like that word you've been searching for, that's all you need to become spiritually reborn. I'm glad he didn't say that you have to fully understand everything. I'm fine that I'm still coming to grips with the profound concepts in this epic introduction. Even scholars wrestle with the enormity of what's here. So nobody expects for anyone to come to this for the first time and get it completely. But John is weaving multiple themes in his introduction: light, life, darkness, being born of God, and they'll build as we go through John's book. So let's just take it in for a second. The poetry, the enormity of who this is that John is introducing, and what he offers us: life. I told you it would be hard to speak in a timely fashion about the very one who created time, and speaking of time, we're out of it. Thanks for joining me today, and I'll see you next time as we continue John chapter 1 on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.